You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome to Tigers in 20, a Go Tigers 247 audio podcast, your one-stop shop for all things University of Memphis Tigers athletics. Here are your hosts, the founder of Go Tigers 247, Brooks Hansen, and lead writer for Go Tigers 247, Christian Fowler.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode. I'm your host, Christian Fowler, and joining me, as always, is Go Tigers 247 digital content producer, Kenny Stubblefield. Kenny, we got a couple things to talk about today. We are going to start and probably stay on basketball pretty heavily in this episode, because exhibition games are coming up soon. The season is somehow right around the corner. It does not feel like basketball is about to start. I think NBA starts this week, right,
yeah,
Kenny?
Yeah, it starts tomorrow. The Tomorrow. Yeah, when this podcast drops on Tuesday, the Grizzlies' first game is on Wednesday.
So crazy. So crazy that basketball comes so quickly. I wish football every year comes as quickly, but we got to wait like 8 months every year.
I know we're not a Grizzlies podcast, but how did you feel about Jaren Jackson getting an extension today?
I mean, you know, I'm not a big Grizzlies guy, but
come on. Okay, we'll move on.
But I mean, let's move on. We don't need Jaren Jackson talk on this, but we'll let Devin and those guys talk about Jaren Jackson.
I'm excited about it, by the way.
If you're not a longtime listener, Kenny is a massive, not only NBA fan, but a huge, huge Grizzlies fan. So he'll throw in Jaren Jackson and John Morant episodes as the basketball season gets underway. But with that being said, Kenny, the Associated Press preseason top 25 came out on Monday morning. Memphis was ranked at number 12. AAC rankings came out last week, preseason AAC rankings. Memphis pretty surprisingly came in at number 2 behind Houston. So that's where I want to start and kind of finish this conversation. I really want this episode to be centered around how we feel about the season and what we feel from these rankings. You know, will they outperform? Will they underperform? So I'm going to pose that question to you and kind of let you roll with it. 12th in the country, 2nd in the AAC preseason rankings, too high, too low. Where do you feel like this Memphis team fits in? You feel like those rankings are fair?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, 2019, they brought in the number one recruiting class, and they were ranked preseason top 14, top 15. They're ranked number 14, I think, right, Christian?
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, I think Tiger fans were excited about that ranking because it's the first time the Tigers have been ranked in a while. And, you know, the 21-22 season seems to have some more excitement. And I think a lot of that is obviously due to Jalen Duren and Imani Bates coming in. But I think a lot of it has to do with the holdovers that were a part of the 2019 class, plus the transfers that have come in. This team is just different than that 2019 class. I mean, obviously that 2019 team was the youngest team in college basketball that year. And that's just not the case this year. So you've got Jalen Duren and Imani Bates, who are getting a lot of the press because of their rankings and because of the, you know, just the infatuation with who's up next, you know, kind of thing. But if you look at the roster, man, like, you know, I just don't see many holes. You look at, you know, you've got Lester Quinones, you've got DeAndre Williams, you've got Landers Nolly, you've got Earl Timberlake when he's healthy. You've got just a bunch of players that are coming back that I think will probably serve the Tigers better than it did in the 2019-2020 season. So if you look at the preseason ranking, you know, number 12 in the nation, it's a little bit higher than number 14, obviously. I don't really know. Like, I mean, I guess it's fine. Like, I'm looking at the rankings here, and I don't have a huge problem with the teams that are ahead of Memphis. I mean, you've got – I mean, I guess my only question would be Kentucky and probably Illinois. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's fine. I just don't think – let me ask you a question real quick. Do you think preseason rankings matter as much in basketball as you do in football?
No. No, definitely not. And I don't think they're super relevant in any sport, really. I think it's more of a fan thing than in anything else. And I guess from a national perspective, it kind of gives like a barometer on who's expected to be good and X, Y, and Z. And that goes on and on. Like, they can kind of put who they want in there. There are going to be some teams that are preseason hype. There are going to be some teams where it's just winter fatigue because they're such good teams that they're ranked high. Historically or in the past several years, they're so good that they're going to be ranked high. So I generally don't put a ton of stock into them. I will say I did expect Memphis to be in the top 10, though, because when you look at ESPN's rankings, they've been number 7 for the past two top 25s ever since they landed Jalen and Amani. So I did expect them to be a little bit higher, but once again, I don't think it matters. It's not going to affect where this team finishes. I mean, the last time Memphis was ranked preseason top 15, that team didn't finish in the top 25 or go to the NCAA tournament. And obviously, there are factors that go into that. Losing your best player obviously doesn't help those prospects of staying in the top 25. So there's always factors that go into it. But I did expect to see them a little higher. And I want to talk about something that you hit on, because I think you make such a great point that is overlooked a lot of the times, and that's that this team is not a quote-unquote young team. That 2019 team was the youngest team in college basketball. I think this team has 8 or 9 juniors and seniors, 8 or 9 upperclassmen on this team, and that is obviously a complete 360 from that group that was the youngest in the country with mainly a freshman starting lineup. And I think you're like quote-unquote crown jewels, or your quote-unquote like high-level players, or the players that are known by a national audience are younger. Amani Bates and Jalen Duren are freshmen. So that's going to have a lot of people saying, you know, this is a young team. And yeah, two of their starters are going to be freshmen, but they're guys that are incredibly talented at the sport of basketball and both projected to be top 5 picks one day. But when you look at what's around them, DeAndre Williams, a guy that played every game last year that he was available to play for, you know, after he got cleared by the NCAA and everything. Lester Quinones, who's been on this team for 2 years now and has played a ton of basketball for a true junior. Landers Nolly, who's played, you know, 2 full seasons, was the ACC Freshman of the Year and then led Memphis in scoring last year. So you have guys that have played a lot of basketball. I would argue that the nucleus of this team that won an NIT championship is back. I know from a bigger standpoint, if like from a, as you like to say, I'm going to steal one of your words, Kenny, but from a 30,000 point view, this team lost a lot of players with DJ Jeffries, Damian Ball, Boogie Ellis, some of those guys transferring and leaving. A lot of people may say, you know, they're missing a lot of guys from that team that won an NIT championship last year, but the players that mattered the most to this team are back, and that would be DeAndre Williams, Lester Quinones, Landers Nolly, Alex Lomax are all back this year with an obvious injection of talent with Jalen Duren, Amani Bates, Chandler and Jonathan Lawson, Earl Timberlake, Tyler Harris coming over from Iowa State. And then the other freshman, Josh Minot, John Camden, and Sam Amedia. There was a huge injection of talent into this team. But even a guy like Earl Timberlake, who only played a few games last year before being injured, has been around college basketball for a year, has been around some of the best players in college basketball playing at Miami in the ACC, which, you know, is one of the best basketball conferences. A guy like Chandler Lawson coming over, spent 2 years at Oregon playing around some very, very good players at a very high level program in Oregon. So I really say that this team just has so much experience. I think, and this is something that I think we'll see very relevant as the season gets started and as they get deeper into the season into conference play, it feels like this team has the perfect balance and mixture of veteran talent and leadership mixed with just absolutely phenomenal young talent. And you have to have that veteran experience and leadership to know how to win those close games, to know how to win those road conference games, to know how to win in those tournaments like the NIT tip-off tournament. So to me, it feels like the perfect storm for a good team this year. That's just my two cents. But to me, that's kind of where my stance is right now.
You hit on something a second ago that I think is key that hasn't really – and I want to be careful in how I position this because I don't want to sound like I'm being disrespectful to past Tiger players. Because that's not at all what this is intended to be. You asked the question at the beginning of the podcast, will the Tigers outplay their ranking and their preseason ranking? I think everybody at the end of last year, especially the AAC tournament with the way that they played against Houston, those games, then moving into the NIT and the way they just dismantled every team that they played, the consensus among most basketball guys and college basketball guys that know what they're talking about is that you take a look at the NIT and there's obviously some teams that just weren't very good, but the top level teams that were in the NIT are teams that probably were tournament teams but just got phased out by the numbers, right? I think most people would agree that the Tigers were good enough, played well enough to be an NCAA tournament team last year. And so the question you have to ask yourself, especially after seeing the way that the Tigers ended the season, one of only two teams in the country that ended with a championship, NIT, mind you, not the one that they wanted, but you look at that team and then you say, okay, if that team in and of itself, that team that played, that won the NIT last year, came into this season, where would they be ranked and would they be better than last year? And the obvious answer, I think, would be yes, right? Like, because they're older, they're more time in the system, injuries of, you know, bringing in an influx of talent, you know, with the class with John Camden and Josh Minot and Sam Anu. Like, those three, if you had brought in those three guys, the team would just automatically be better. And so this might be a faulty comparison, but you say they lost players, and they did. But look at who they – so, like, let's take a look at what the starting lineup would be with if those guys hadn't left. It would be more than likely Boogie Ellis starting at the point guard role and Musa Cisse starting at the five. Do you think that the team is better with Imani Bates starting at the one and Jalen Duren starting at the five?
Do I think – wait, that was – you confused the crap out of me right there. Do I think that this team is better with Jalen Duren than with Musa Cisse?
Yes.
Yes. Yes,
I do. Do you think that the team is better with Imani Bates than with DJ Jeffries or Damian Ball or Boogie Ellis?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Okay. So knowing that the team in and of itself would be better already this year because of the veteran – leadership that they have, the time in the program, then you add two players to the mix who are potential top five picks in the NBA draft in the next couple of years, I think the team is just going to be automatically better. And so when you ask about are they going to outplay their rankings, I think absolutely. I think that Memphis is probably one of the top five teams in the country this year.
Yeah. Yeah, and what we're neglecting and what we haven't even talked about yet is you brought on one of the – I mean, I don't even really think this is like a crazy opinion, but you brought on one of the best basketball minds of all time in Larry Brown.
Right.
And I don't care that he's 80-plus years old. I mean, this is a guy that has seen more basketball than you, me, and Brooks combined times 10 probably. You know, I mean, this is a guy that knows the game more than most people walk in the planet. And he, it, I'm not even trying to get on a tangent here, but it just seems so rejuvenated and so happy to be back on a basketball court coaching basketball. And it's a, absolutely, it's a really cool sight to see, because, I mean, this is a guy that, I mean, you've seen this guy coach your whole life. I've seen this guy coach my whole life. It's pretty surreal to see him in Memphis alongside Penny Hardaway coaching some of the top players in the country. So, I mean, just bringing him on, I think, going back to your point, if you were to take last year's team, copy and paste them with Josh, John, and Sam, not even talking about Jalen and Amani, and you add Larry Brown and Rasheed Wallace,
they're better.
That team is a tournament team, easily. You know,
yeah,
easily a tournament team. So when you get what they have on top of that with Jalen, Amani, Earl, Chandler, I mean, it's pretty crazy to think about the leaps and bounds that this team can make going forward, because I think there's an argument to be made if that team makes the tournament last year, they could go to the round of 32, that they could win a game and get to the second round. So all that to say, I know we've kind of convoluted this a little bit maybe, but all that to say, this team has a chance to be special.
Yeah.
This team, as you said, I think is a top five talent-wise team in the country, and they're one of the few teams in the country that has national championship aspirations. And I know you'll probably have some fans and obviously national media that are going to be cautious of that, because it's like, oh, you know, Memphis is so unlucky and just a snake-bitten team. That's mainly fans that say that. But just looking at it on paper before the season has started, this is a team that has national championship aspirations that should have a lot of success when and if they get into the NCAA tournament. So moving along from that, let's talk about the AAC ranking, because I brought that up at the beginning of the episode. How surprised were you that Memphis came in at number two behind Houston?
Very surprised, but I think it is indicative of what you see in the national media compared to what you see also with the coaches in the AAC. The referendum at this point, if the Tigers don't succeed, it's not on the players, it's on Penny Hardaway. All of the pressure is on Penny Hardaway. You look at most of the national analysts that talk about the Tigers, every question that they have is about, can Penny coach a team to a national championship?
I'm so tired of that, too, so by am the
I.
way.
I am, too. And that's the only reason that Houston is above Memphis in the AAC preseason rankings, is because coaches have a fascination with Kelvin Sampson, and he's a damn good coach. So this
is no slight against
Kelvin Sampson.
He's one of the best coaches in the country, hands down.
Right.
Like, I'm honestly in the camp that believes if you gave Kelvin Sampson top five, top 10 talent, that he would be in the national championship or in the Final Four pretty much every year. He's one of the best coaches in the country, hands down.
I totally agree.
But I was talking to someone the other day about this upcoming season, and they were like, yeah, well, you know, they have talent, but can Penny coach? And I was like, what makes you think that Penny can't coach? And it's just like, well, they haven't been to a tournament, and it just doesn't seem like – and I was like, hold up, wait a second. Can Penny coach? He's had the number one defense in the country for the past 2 years, and that doesn't happen by accident.
That's called schemes, baby.
You just can't throw athletes out there and have a top – three top five defense in the country. It just doesn't happen like that. It's not just he's getting players that can play defense and throwing them out there. No, they're coaching them to that level of defense. And I know that there have been times where the offenses went through lulls and whatever. You can make of that what you want, and we can sit here and go back and forth on the reasons that that's happened over the past couple years. But Penny Hardaway can coach basketball. Penny Hardaway knows the game of basketball. And I'm honestly tired of hearing that. It feels like that's all we've heard over the past 3 years. And I get it. You know, people expected Penny Hardaway to come in and have some kind of crazy immediate success and win a national championship in his first year because he was returning to his home state and to his alma mater and all these things. And it's just like those expectations were never realistic anyway, right? Something that we talk about here all the time is that culture is so important and building a culture is so important. And it doesn't matter who you have, what's going on, that takes time to build. It takes time to build an identity. It takes time to build a culture. It takes time to build a coaching staff. It takes time to build a roster. All these things take time. So, getting off of that soapbox, Penny Hardaway can coach. I don't think coaching has been the problem. Has he had learning curves along the way? Yes. Has he made mistakes? Yes. Has he owned up to those mistakes? Yes. Anybody that's coming into their first few seasons as a college head coach is going to make mistakes. I mean, John Calipari still makes mistakes. Coach K still makes mistakes. Coaches make mistakes. They're human beings. They're not perfect. But I think we've seen Penny Hardaway learn and grow from those mistakes and adapt when things weren't working. So Penny Hardaway can coach. That's not the issue. At least in my opinion, it's not. I know there are probably still some fans out there that think he can't coach and that he doesn't belong here. And that is what it is. And a lot of people, when they say that, bring up 2019 and that, look, he had, you know, he came in with the number one class and didn't even make the tournament. Yeah. Well, the number one player in the class played four games and then left.
And nobody made the tournament.
Right, exactly. But they weren't going to make the tournament anyway unless they won the conference championship won the conference tournament. But I think that team probably would have been the number one, number two seed in the conference tournament had they had James Wiseman the whole season.
Absolutely.
Once again, totally another story.
Ways that you can see that, I mean, one of the ideas that, you know, I was at the barbershop a few days ago and I hear the same thing that you heard. You had the conversation with the dude about, well, Penny this and Penny that, and he hasn't made the tournament yet. And it's like, okay, that's a fair criticism. I understand that. I don't think that's a referendum on whether or not Penny can coach. I think that question has been answered. And I think this offseason has proven that as well. Like, one of the things that a sign of a good leader, you talk about culture, right? Like a sign of a good leader is somebody that recognizes their deficiencies and how they could be, what they need to do to fix that, to bridge that gap for the culture of their program. And he went out and did it. He got Larry Brown, one of the greatest minds in the history of basketball. He got Rasheed Wallace, who, man, I'm telling you, having been around Rasheed now around the team for three different occasions, the guy is the energy level is off the charts with him. He is bought in. He is all in. And I think that is one of the greatest signs of a guy who knows his deficiencies and knows what he needs to do to push the culture forward at the University of Memphis is that's filling in the gaps on the assistant coaching bench. And so he's done that. And so, again, and we said this last year, we've said this a couple of times this year, that question about whether or not he can coach needs to be put to bed at this point. But that's the question for everybody, for that is the hot talking point for national analysts. That's the reason why Houston is ahead of Memphis in the preseason rankings. I mean, you look at who Houston lost off of last year's Final Four team. They are bringing back Marcus Sasser, incredible player. He's coming back. What's the kid's name? Tremont Mark was a freshman last year. Going to be an awesome player. Fabian White is coming back. Going to be a good player. But they lost. Who all did they lose, Christian? Quentin Grimes. They lost.
They lost Caleb Mills early in the season, obviously.
Caleb Mills
transferred,
Justin
Gorham.
Still,
that was a big loss.
Dejon Giroux. I mean, they lost the heart and soul of last year's team.
Right. And so, I mean, just Quentin Grimes and Dejon Giroux alone, like that is
right.
Two of the biggest hits you can possibly take.
And so for me, it was surprising that they put Houston ahead of Memphis because of all that Houston lost. All that Memphis has brought in, Memphis's talent level compared to Houston, this is all about Kelvin Sampson and Penny Hardaway.
Oh, it's all about prove it to me. Prove it to me. We're not going to crown you until you prove it to me.
Right.
And I mean, I don't think that's
fair.
That's not an unfair
that's
sentiment
fair.
Or anything. That's a fair.
Yeah.
But I did expect Memphis to be number one, and if they weren't, I expected it to be closer than an 8-3 split on first place votes.
Well, isn't it funny, like the breakdown of the preseason basketball awards? Like Memphis is littered all over it, and yet
there was
such a huge
split. But on the opposite side of that, do I still think Houston's going to be a really good basketball team? Yes. And why do I think that? Because Kelvin Sampson is their head coach.
Right.
And because we didn't know Caleb Mills' name 2 years ago, and we didn't know Marcus Sasser's name 2 years ago, and that team came out of nowhere to be awesome.
Right.
So, all that being said, Houston is still probably going to be really good this year. That's good, probably going to be Memphis's toughest test in the American, regardless of who they lost, just because Kelvin Sampson and his staff, when it comes to identifying talent and coaching talent and scheming, it's one of the best staffs in the country. So
one of the guys to give Brooks some props, he said it at the beginning. I think in a text message between the three of us, he highlighted one player that's going to be playing for Houston as a freshman this year. His name is Ramon Walker. This kid, if he was on this podcast tonight, he would tell Memphis fans, watch out for this kid. He is that guy, that Houston kid that Kelvin Sampson goes after, that's going to be shocking to everybody in terms of how efficient and how good he is.
Right. And I think he told us that like maybe 9 to 12 months ago.
It was easily a year ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a long time ago. But all that being said, we obviously know the hype that's surrounding this season. We know where this season could go. I mean, I think, Kenny, you tell me, but I think even Sweet 16 this year is probably very disappointing, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
I mean, just straight up, and a Sweet, you would never think a Sweet 16 for a team that hasn't been to the tournament in, what, was it 10 years now? Something like that?
So long that I can't even remember the last time.
Right, you would never think that that's disappointing, but I think a Sweet 16 would be a disappointment this year if everyone stays healthy, and if everyone stays healthy. If you have your full supporting cast, I think a Sweet 16 is probably disappointing. I think bare minimum fans are going to be expecting Elite Eight, and knowing Memphis fans, and no disrespect to Memphis fans because you know I love you guys, I think even a lot of them would be disappointed with an Elite Eight appearance.
I think it's
fair at this point. This is a team that could win a national championship without a doubt.
Being from Memphis and being, you know, lifelong Memphian, I've watched all the Tigers since I remember being a kid watching Elliott Perry play. So I've watched every iteration of the Tiger team. And obviously the gold standard for most Memphis fans because of where they went in terms of in the recent past was the 2008 team, right? The Derrick Rose, CDR, Joey Dorsey team. Obviously, there's a lot of other players, so don't get at me if I don't say your name. But, you know, there is every year you kind of go, okay, there's kind of that measuring stick, right? Like, how does this team compare to the 2008 team? And I said this a few months ago. This is the first time since 2008 that I have that same kind of feeling about this team. You know, you've got the 2008 team, you had a veteran-laden team, guys that have played together for a few years, then with an influx of talent with a freshman like Derrick Rose, who was one of the top, I don't remember exactly what his ranking was, Brooks would know, but he was one of the top players in the country coming to Memphis. And you've got the same thing this year. You've got a veteran-laden team with an influx of freshman talent. And I know that Imani Bates is going to get all the talk. Jalen Dern is going to get all the talk, but we're also not forgetting about Josh Minot and John Camden, and not knowing exactly what role those two guys are going to play, but this team is stacked from on every position, multiple players at every position, and there just doesn't seem to be that much of a weakness at this point. So in terms of expectation, you talk about Elite Eight, like would they be disappointed in Sweet 16 Elite Eight? If it ended there, yeah, probably so, because this team is good enough to win a national championship.
Yeah, 100%. And we're getting close, and it's so funny looking at the boards right now because you see everybody saying, just give me something to scratch the itch. I think I've seen that like 10 times in the past 2 weeks. It's like, we just need something to scratch the itch of Memphis basketball, and I get it. The hype is there. The talent is there. The coaching staff is there. Now it's just time to see what this team does. We get two exhibition games before the season starts on November 9th against Tennessee Tech. So we are getting very, very close to seeing what this team can do in live action. All right, Kenny, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and wrap this episode up. Couple little quick notes before we get out of here. Memphis got their first win in 3 weeks. Got a lead. Did they need that? Beat Navy last Thursday night to move to 4-3. Got UCF coming up this week, who is also sitting at where Memphis was last week at 500 at 3-3. Another shocker there. And I know that's always a fun game. I know some fans, most fans are ready for basketball season, but it's still, we're still in the midst of football season. So we should have an entertaining, to me, I think an offensive fireworks kind of game between UCF and Memphis this weekend. UTSA may be headed to the American Athletic Conference. So it looks like my words from a month or so ago are really coming back to bite me. Looks like I'll be watching a lot more UTSA football. So for our UTSA lovers that are still listening to us, my sincere apologies.
No. Do you really, are you going to really watch more UTSA football?
No, I'm not going to watch a UTSA game unless they play Memphis.
Are you, was, do you love it when they come into your mentions on Twitter?
I don't even know unless you tell me.
I love it. I love it. Keep the hate coming, guys. With for all of the, I know there's only 10 fans, but keep it coming. Like, I love it. It makes me happy.
Whew, y'all really angered Kenny. Kenny is not a fan of the UTSA fans.
I'm not angry. I think it's hilarious. Thank you for downloading and listening to the podcast. We greatly appreciate it.
Could see a lot of Roadrunner Tigers matchups in the future, as interesting, as wonderful as that sounds. Head over to the site at gotigers247.com. Kenny's laughing. Head over to the site.
Our South Texas numbers have gone through the roof in the last couple of months, and I love it.
Head over to the site at gotigers247.com. We got football, we got basketball coverage. Kenny's still laughing. He muted himself and he's making me laugh now. So stick around for all the coverage. Download all of our podcasts. Kenny is absolutely killing our YouTube channel right now. I know you guys are absolutely digging all the Memphis basketball coverage that Kenny is bringing. So continue to show him the love, because he's doing an incredible job handling our digital content as he has for the past 4 years. But with that being said, Kenny, you got anything else?
Meep, meep.
That's a wrap.
Thank you for listening to Tigers in 20. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love for you to leave a comment and a rating wherever you downloaded your podcast. If you are interested in daily content all about the University of Memphis Athletic Program, please hop over to www.gotigers247.com. Articles are published daily, and you can join the Go Tigers 247 family by signing up for a VIP membership for even more behind-the-scenes information. We'll see you back here next week.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Here's where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it all on fire.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.